Thank you for joining us today. At Cross Church, we believe people need Jesus, people need each other, people change the world, and people leave legacies. Our desire is for you to understand, accept, and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. If you would like to know more about Cross Church, please visit crosschurch.com.
If you're brand new to the church, welcome. We're glad to have you. We have been in a series, I think this is week three of seven, on the subject of heaven. Didn't mean to rhyme, it just happens sometimes, okay? Just comes out naturally like that. And man, we've talked about a lot already in the first 2 weeks. We'll talk a lot about today, about some interesting things. Jeff and I joked the other day that that we talked about heaven and just creating a subtitle, everything you ever wanted to know, ... kind of. Okay? We say that because there's no way that we could ever obviously pour out everything that the Bible says about heaven. And honestly, we're going to get done with these 7 weeks studying this subject. And there's going to be somebody in the church. I encourage you to not be that guy, okay, or that girl. But there's going to be somebody who said, well, you didn't cover this. We know we're not covering everything. We're giving you the main thing. So again, don't be that guy, okay? And we're going to talk today about the return of Christ. And I'm looking forward to biblically pouring out the exact moment when Jesus will return. You ready for that today? I'm just kidding. I can't do that, okay? But even Jesus does not know, but the Bible says only the Father knows when Jesus will return. As you realize, and I would just say it to you this way, anybody that tries to identify the exact moment when Jesus will return, I would say I'd probably be cautious of that person. There was actually a book written in 1988 called 88 Reasons Why the Rapture Will Happen in 1988. That didn't age well, okay? And the Bible does have certain things to say about that, and that's what we're going to talk about today. When will Jesus return? I believe this single sermon in the series has more to do with the end times than any other sermon within the series. We've been real clear this is not a series on the end times. This is a series about heaven. So they're really two distinct things, although they obviously cross one another at various points. And today is one of those moments that we need to discuss because it does definitely cross. Now, there's a lot of emotions when I say that this is going to be a message somewhat on the end times that are being displayed out there today. I've identified it in three ways. You're either pumped, you're puzzled, or you're petrified whenever I say that we're going to talk about the end times, okay? Either you are so excited about a sermon on the end times, like you're pulling out your charts of the end times out of the back of your Bible, and it's like this long right here. So there are some of you like that. There are others of you who are just confused in general about these various things. And you say, Nick, I just get uncomfortable whenever we talk about the end times because I don't understand it. It's hard for me to piece together. You're just puzzled. Or you're just petrified. You're scared out of your mind anytime the end times get brought up because you watched a scary movie when you were in kids' church, you know, 20 years ago, and you're like, man, ever since then, I've just been scared about the end times, okay? Well, today, I hope to encourage you about the end times. I hope to encourage you with the return of Jesus Christ. It's a good time to just pause and remind you of some things that we've talked about along the way. In the Christian faith, there are what we call first-tier doctrines and second-tier doctrines, okay? First-tier doctrines are those things that are clearly taught in Scripture. There's really no debating, just a clear reading of Scripture. This is what the Bible says. Second-tier issues would be things that are kind of even, there's a disagreement among faithful Christian brothers and sisters. They view different passages differently, but they're all considered what we would say are in the bounds of Christian orthodoxy, okay? So let me give you some examples. First-tier doctrines are things that we will fight for as a church. Like, we'll wrestle with you on these things, okay? Jesus is the only way to salvation. The Bible is the Word of God. The virgin birth. You know what I'm saying? Everybody good there? Like, things that we all understand like that? Second-tier doctrines are things like, are the miraculous spiritual gifts still in play today? Things like the gift of healing, the gift of tongues, things like that. Or your view on eschatology, which is the study of the end times. And so I just want you to understand, first-tier doctrines, we will fight to the death over, okay? Second-tier doctrines, we say, hey, where there's some disagreement among brothers and sisters, we say, hey, let's love one another, even though we disagree on certain matters, okay? In fact, I would let you know this. As Jeff and Ryan and I have walked through the preparation and the direction of this series, we have found that there's disagreement amongst the three of us in how we view the end times. And yet we are walking in unity together. Why? Because it's a second-tier doctrine. Faithful brothers, faithful sisters who can look at various things in different ways. There's room for disagreement. By the way, I told Springdale this today. You know the difference between me, Ryan, and Jeff? Which if you're new to the church, these are kind of the three preachers who make up the church. Jeff's the smart one. Ryan's the nice one. And I'm the cool one. Okay, that's what it is right there. That's what it is. And it was great. I loved being able to say that with Jeff on the front row today. It's just so good. Here's why I say all that, okay? First tier issue, or I should start with this. Second tier issue, when will Jesus return? First tier issue, Jesus will return. You get what I'm saying there? Adrian Rogers once said it this way, related to the various views of the end times. He said, I'm not on the planning committee, I'm on the welcoming committee. And I resonate with that, okay? I'm not exactly sure all how this is going to time out at times, but one thing I do know, Jesus will return. The number one thing I hope your heart leaves with today, and I hope it's with just a heart full of encouragement, I hope you leave with a longing for the return of Christ. And so if you're a note taker, let me give you kind of the main thought of the message. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in a snapshot, okay? Here's what happens. Jesus Christ will return to earth, and we will be changed. That's the point of the message right there. He's coming, and in the midst of that, we will be changed, and in fact, everything will be changed. Look at verse 13. That's where we'll pick up today. And this is such a great passage, encouraging passage. It says this, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. That means those who have died already. That you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now let's just pause there for a moment. Aren't you grateful that in the heart of God, he included this passage for us? I think in the heart of God, he knew that whenever we lose somebody in this life, especially those that we love, it is one of the most devastating things that we ever walk through. It hurts, and it's supposed to hurt when somebody in your family dies. It hurts, and it's supposed to hurt when somebody that you know at the office or one of your friends passes away. It's supposed to hurt. And yet Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says it this way, I don't want you to be uninformed about what's going on. In other words, I want to help you look into the future. And this is a passage that doesn't say don't grieve. This is a passage that says grieve with context, okay? In fact, I would say to you this way, it is unbiblical to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and to think if I grieve when something bad happens, then I am not a spiritual person. If that was the intention of God, he would have written it like this. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about people who have fallen asleep. Therefore, you don't have to grieve. It's not what the Bible says. We grieve. And if you're grieving today, you need to grieve. It's healthy to grieve. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But we grieve with hope. We grieve differently from people who do not know the Lord Jesus. Keep on reading verse 14. It says, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. I want you to look back at the beginning of verse 14, okay? If you got a Bible, I would underline that first phrase. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again. In other words, the Bible is framing the entire foundation of what we're about to study together, the entire foundation of the idea of the return of Jesus Christ, and it's based on the fact that we believe that Jesus died and rose again. I was just reminded, man, what a holy moment we had earlier, Jordan, just in worship. Thank you for that. And I was just reminded as I'm just down here on the front row by myself, the cross is central to our faith. The birth of Jesus is not central. The return of Jesus even is not central. Important, but not central. The cross is central. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the thing. That's the only reason why we're here today. And so I got to be honest with you. If you're not familiar with the Bible, this Heaven series is quite the groundbreaking reality, okay? And you're hearing things for the first time, and you're like, man, I don't know. I've never heard that. This is wild to me. In fact, if you have never read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you're going to read this today and go, that is wild. And here's what I tell you. The greatest hurdle of faith you've ever got to get over is that a dead man got up and walked out of a grave. If you get that one in your heart, if you believe that, the rest is gravy, okay? Christianity is not something that we just go in a cafeteria style. Like, remember Luby's? Remember the old school Luby's was in the Fayetteville Mall? I'd get some Jell-O and some roast beef, you know, whatever I would like. We don't treat the Bible like that. We don't say, well, we'll take a little of this, and I'm not down with that one, but we'll take this. I'll believe this miracle, but not that miracle. We take the meal of God's word all together, and we receive it by faith. Here's what we're about to learn about. God will bring the dead in Christ from heaven, and their souls will be reunited with their bodies from the grave at this moment. You hear that, and you're like, what? I mean, this is awesome. Now, let me just pause for a moment here, okay? This is a good time for me to give you. Really, there are two views of how people view the interpretation of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it all relates to how you understand the end times, okay? It all boils down to how you view the tribulation, okay? And the time of its occurrence. If you're new to the faith, let me give you a brief thing on the tribulation. The tribulation is a seven-year period at the end of time where wickedness abounds like never before. This is described in Revelation 6 through 18. And again, how you view 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 will ultimately be determined on how you view the tribulation and all that good stuff. There are some who believe that we will be taken out before the tribulation. There are other faithful believers who interpret the Bible that we will live through the 7 years, okay? Let me give you the two views here, and if you're a note taker, this is easy things to write down, okay? View number one is that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is speaking about the rapture, what is known as the rapture. In this view, 1 Thessalonians 4 is teaching that believers will be caught up in the air and proceed to the present heaven for about 7 years, okay? In other words, we're going to be rescued from the wrath that is to come on this earth. In this view, basically the rapture kicks off the events, ultimately leading to Jesus' second coming. It's important for you to understand the word rapture is not in the Bible. It comes from a Latin translation of the Bible. Basically that's where this word just describes being caught up in the air, okay? Scriptural defenses of this view are the passage we're studying today, 1 Corinthians 15, when it speaks about how we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, when the trumpet sounds, John 14, we'll study in a couple weeks about Jesus going to prepare a place for you. And so that's view number one, that this is referencing the rapture, okay? View number two is this, that this is all about the actual return of Christ. So this is not referencing the rapture, but one single event here, okay? This would mean that we have lived through the tribulation if we're alive, and in this moment, Jesus will call us in. Everybody look at me for a second. Jesus will call us into the air, and we'll come right back to earth with him. People point to Matthew 25 to support this. I read somebody this last couple weeks that described it like this. When somebody comes to your home, you go to your front door, and you open the door, and you welcome them in and walk them into the house. That's kind of the picture here within this view. Second Thessalonians people point to with this. This is not two separate events, not rapture, then return 7 years later, but one singular event where Jesus is returning to earth. Now, here's what I want you to understand. I don't want you to miss the point of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. If you are really into the end times, it's very easy to get distracted from the main point. It's very easy to get so in the weeds that you miss the main point. Here's what it is. Either way, the point is the same. Everything changes in this moment. Said in a different way, while there's disagreement among scholars on if this is the rapture or the return, the emphasis is this. Jesus is about to show up and everything's about to change. Everybody understand that? Like, that's the central message of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's going to return, and we, along with everything else, will be changed. I love the way that Ed Heinsohn writes about this. Let's throw this up on the screen here. He said, "No one knows the time, so don't waste your time trying to guess the time. Be ready all the time, because Jesus could come at any time." It's a good way to view it, right? So regardless of which one of these views is correct, one day we're going to find out, okay? And here's the point. We just need to be looking for the return of Christ. That's what the mind of the believer is supposed to be set on. Keep reading. Look at verse 16. Describes the actual moment of what's taking place. "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So think about this. Jesus is going to descend from heaven, and he's going to call us to himself. The Bible says that this will happen with the voice of an angel. We're not told who that angel is. We most likely believe it's Michael. And with the sound of the trumpet of God. So again, this entire series is a series where as I'm preaching and as you go home and reflect on what we've talked about, it's a time to just stop and say, okay, so let me just try to imagine what this will be like. I think it's a healthy thing to do. Can I just get my thinking cap around what this will actually look like? Here's one thing I'll tell you. It'll be even better than you can imagine. But it's still fun to imagine what this may look like, okay? You said, well, Nick, will everybody on earth hear the angel and hear the trumpet, or will they only be believers? We're not told that. We know, obviously, believers are going to hear it. May come down to how you view the end times there. Here's what we do know clearly. The dead in Christ will rise first. So every person who's surrendered their life to Jesus across history, including those who you know and love, the Bible says that their bodies from the grave will rise first. And so if you're alive when 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is actually happening, I just got to be honest with you, you're not going to win the race. You're second in line, okay? The dead in Christ, their bodies will be raised in that moment. Now again, use your imagination. The first 2 weeks of this series, we've been talking about the hope of a resurrected body, that we are not just going to be spirit angel babies floating around playing harps from cloud to cloud for all of eternity. That's not the picture of heaven. The hope of what the Bible talks about with heaven is that we'll have a real body, a renewed resurrected body, and we will live on a renewed resurrected earth. That's the point of what the Bible is speaking about here, okay? And so somehow, God in his supernatural power, it's something that only God could do, will take those who have died in Christ. So their bodies, if they've died recently, maybe their body is still together. If they died 300 years ago, their body is decomposed. Maybe they were burned at the stake 300 years ago for their faith. He said, well, Nick, how will God take all of these different scenarios? God in his supernatural power somehow will resurrect the dead in Christ first. And this is the moment where their bodies are met with their spirit and soul, which has been in the present heaven, and somehow God brings them together in this moment. Is that not a miracle? Again, if you can believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, took your place on the cross, died, and was resurrected from the grave, is it really that much of a stretch to think that God could do this too? God can do it. And somehow in his supernatural power and wisdom, he will put our bodies back with our spirits in this moment. Now look at verse 17. The Bible speaks about those of us who will still be here if Christ returns while we're still alive. He says, then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. This is a great time to just remind yourself, what's the number one thing about heaven? We will always be with the Lord. That's the hope. I love what Paul writes about here. He says it in this way. He says, then we who are alive, who are left. What does that tell us about Paul? He did not view the return of Jesus Christ as something that would happen thousands of years from the moment that he lived. He expected it to happen while he was alive. And that gives us great hope and a great urgency to also look and say, man, Jesus could come today. He could come literally right now. By the way, I hope I'm doing something cool when Jesus returns. Like, I'd love to be like just sharing the gospel with somebody, or the Hogs win the national title, just something like that, you know? Just something good, not bad here. And Paul believed that it could happen at any moment. So as a believer, you think about this. You hear the call of the angel. You hear the sound of the trumpet. And just imagine, you begin to see bodies rise from the grave and somehow joining with their soul from the present heaven. And they are met in the air. And before you know it, you're like, oh, you're starting to fly as well. Anybody else want to fly? I've always wanted to fly. When you're a kid and they're like, hey, which superpower would you choose? Would you be invisible? Boring. Would you have x-ray vision? Boring. You want to fly? Oh, yeah. I want to fly. One day I'm going to fly. And you're going to fly if you know Jesus. And can you imagine being in this moment? I mean, can you just imagine this? And the emotions that are going to come alongside. I think it's going to be like a mix of shock, awe, like more joy than you've ever experienced in your life. We're going to see Paul, his body rise from the grave. And we're going to see Peter, James, and John, and Ruth and Mary, and Billy Graham, and Elizabeth Elliot, my grandparents, your loved ones, their body, the dead in Christ, will rise first and will meet the Lord in the air. I told you that word rapture is, it's a Latin word, but in the Greek, this whole idea of being caught up is the Greek word harpazo. And this is a sudden thing. The Bible says it happens in the twinkling of an eye. You say, well, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? Just look at the person next to you. There it is. Twinkle. Real quick. Okay? And all within the twinkling of an eye, Jesus returns and he changes everything. Paul wraps up this little section on the return of Christ, and think about what he says. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. It means we should talk about it. We need to talk about it. We should be encouraged by it. This is not a scary thing. It's not something to be freaked out about. God included this in the Bible for your heart. As you walk through grief, as you walk through fear of death, I think if we're honest, even as strong as you believe about heaven, there's probably in every one of us just an ounce of fear about death. Even though you know where you're going, even though you feel good and confident about that, you believe what the Bible says, but man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get to that moment, there's a little bit of fear. And I'm just so thankful to God. He's saying this to us. I don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. You're not in the dark. Those who have passed on, they will rise again. And their soul and their spirit will be reunited with a resurrected body that does not get cancer, that does not get sick, but is whole. Glorified. You see, this passage, much like last week and even next week, this passage means one thing to you if you're healthy. It means a whole entirely different thing if you're walking through cancer. If you've just lost a loved one. I'm so glad, again, that God just didn't leave us in the dark on these issues, but he spoke to the very heart of them. He says, therefore, encourage one another. I hugged I believe it was last week at Fable, I can't remember. It was. I hugged a woman who had just walked through a tragedy many years ago, but just the whole idea about heaven has just kind of stirred up a lot. And we're talking out in the lobby in Fayetteville, and I'm just encouraging her, listening to her. And at one point in the conversation, I just put my arm around her, and I said, one day. That's really the hope of the believer. One day, it's not going to be like this anymore. One day, there's no more suffering. One day, those whom you love, who have died in Christ, they will rise first. One day, you're not going to have a body that gets sick and that breaks down and dies. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. If you know somebody in this room, as you're walking out of church today, who you knew, you just know they're walking through grief. Maybe on the way out, you just need to hug their neck, shake their hand. One day, brother. One day, sister. This will not be so. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It's, while this is such an encouraging message in so many ways for followers of Christ, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is a fearful passage of Scripture. Like you should read that, you should listen to the message today, and you should say, hold up, if Jesus returned today, where am I? And that's really the central message you got to ask yourself today. If Christ were to return today, have you ever surrendered your life to Christ? I'm not asking, have you attended church for a while? Some people go to hell by the distance of about 12 inches. They had it in their head, but it never made it to their heart. Yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe in Jesus too. Yeah, I'm good. But there's never been a surrender of their heart, of their soul, of their life to Christ. Has that ever happened in you? If not, would you just trust Christ today? You may look at this and say, Nick, you have no idea what I've done. You have, if you could see a movie about my life, it'd be rated R, by the way. It wouldn't be good. And I'd be embarrassed. If all of my sins were displayed up on that screen, you know, Nick, I'd just be mortified. Can I just share something with you? So would I. And if I can just come back to what I said earlier, the cross is central to the faith. The cross is where Jesus took every sin you ever committed and he put it on his shoulders. The cross is where he takes your shame and your guilt of everything wrong you've ever done in your life. And Jesus said, I have taken that upon myself, and I forgive you. You see, forgiveness of your sin is available, but it's not automatic. You've got to come to Christ. And so today, I want to just invite you to the family of God. You don't have to listen to a message like this with fear or uncertainty about what will happen. Today, before you leave this place, you can know with certainty that you know Christ and that what we talked about today will be a reality for you. But you've got to turn over your life to Christ. Will you do that today? I want us to bow our head and close our eyes right here in this moment. Our staff's going to make their way to the front of each aisle and just kind of spread across the front here. Today, if you've never trusted Christ, but for the very first time, you're like, Nick, I understand my need for surrender to God. I'm ready to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I do believe that he died and rose from the grave. Today, if that's true in your life, would you come as we sing this final song? In just one moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing some more, just one final song as we wrap up this service. We intentionally build time in the service for this moment right here for people who need Christ. Many of the people in this room have done what you're about to do. In other words, they've come to a place where they've recognized that they're hopeless without Christ. I'm one of those people. I was a 12-year-old boy. I trusted Christ. I put my faith in him. I surrendered my heart to Christ. Since that moment, everything has changed in my life. Have you ever had that moment? If not, would you come by faith? All you got to do is come and talk to one of these people. Just say, hey, I need Jesus. And they will lead you to faith in Christ in a very private moment. You're not going to come up on stage. You're not going to speak in a microphone. It's going to be a very, very private moment for you. Will you come? If you're a follower of Jesus today, you say, Nick, man, this is settled in my heart. And just know what you've talked about right there. Like, I'm good on that. Has God brought anybody into your mind today who doesn't know Christ? See, that's kind of the flip side of this whole thing. While, yes, you can be very confident about where you're headed, what about your family? What about those you work with? What about the friends that you have? Do they know Jesus? If Jesus were to return today, what would happen to them? And so I'm just going to invite you to this altar. Just with that name or those names on your heart, would you just bring them to the altar and just say, Lord Jesus, wherever they are right now, would the Spirit of God penetrate their heart? They may be on the other side of the world, but here's the great thing. Prayers that are uttered in this room can change wherever they're at. We really believe that. So would you come and just bring their names to the altar? Lord, I just ask that you would bring them, draw them to faith in Christ. I'm going to pray, then we're going to stand together. As soon as we stand, just make your way out of the row. People will let you by, and you come. Lord Jesus, we enter into this moment with faith, recognizing that only you can do the things we're talking about today in the heart of a person. Would you do that right now? It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
If you have questions about what you have heard or would like more information about your relationship with Jesus, please email us at info@crosschurch.com or visit our website at crosschurch.com. At Cross Church, our mission is to reach Northwest Arkansas, America, and the world for Jesus Christ.